Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There are certain subjects we don't always talk about openly, and money is right up there at the top of the list. Not because it isn't important, but because for many of us, it was simply handled, managed, taken care of, until one day it isn't. And then the questions start. Where do I begin? What do I need to know? And perhaps the biggest one, why didn't I pay more attention? In today's conversation, we're looking at financial dependency, not from a place of blame, but from a place of understanding how it happens, why it's so common, and what it really takes to step back into your financial life with confidence. Because this isn't about becoming an expert overnight, it's about becoming aware, involved, and willing to take that first step. Listen now to my conversation with Estelle Gibson. I've been looking forward to this conversation today because here's the truth. Many women in our generation didn't just accidentally hand over financial control. It was the norm, it was expected, it was modeled for us. And sometimes, let's be honest, it wasn't even about expertise. It was just, he'll handle it, even when handling it, air quotes, may not have been all that impressive. And then life shifts. A divorce, a loss, a moment where we realize, whether we like it or not, we need to understand what's actually going on with our own money. What I find so compelling about your story, Estelle, and Estelle's our guest today, is that you knew finance, you had the background, the experience, and you still found yourself in that position. And whether a marriage lasts 5 years or 40, the pattern can look surprisingly similar. You step out of the financial decisions. And stepping back in can feel overwhelming no matter how capable you are. Which tells me this isn't about intelligence, it's about patterns, expectations, what we've been taught, sometimes without even realizing it. So today we're going to talk about financial dependency, what it really costs us, and how women can step back into their financial power without shame and without needing a degree in accounting to do it. Estelle Gibson, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you so much for having me, Agnes. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. You did send me on a bit of a little chase a little while ago. I interviewed someone some time ago, actually a gentleman, about maybe vaguely related subject, and he had found a book that he sends to most of the women he consults with, whether they hire him or not, and it's called "Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear." So it was like went and found that
That's
one again.
interesting.
Yeah, it's written by a woman, needless to say. Okay. You started in finance very young. You built a strong career, and then you found yourself in a place of financial dependency. Can you walk us how that shift happened? Walk us through.
And actually, Agnes, I started my financial career in high school. I was working as an assistant bookkeeper when I was in my junior year in high school.
Oh,
So I
wow.
started way back when, and then went in as a declared accounting major to college. And then was on my life in the finance world. And I met and married my husband at the time, now ex-husband, and life was good. And he was very good. We were both good with money. And he was really good with money, but I dealt with money all day long. So I was relieved. I had been managing my money since I was 16 years old. And so I was relieved that he took it over. And so I just trusted him and it was great. And I also, my mother was like, hey, let him manage it and you don't have to worry about it, blah, blah, blah. So I got, incentivized by my mother. But then we go 5 years down the road and he asks for a divorce out of the blue one day. He just says, I want a divorce. And at that moment, everything changed for me. Because I had not been involved enough to know what was going on. So I was left with a home I couldn't afford, situations, you name it. I was like, what are we doing with this? Insurance, cars, home maintenance, just so many things. And he had managed some of the investments too. So I had to rebuild my life financially and emotionally. And so I started on a whole quest of self-development and self-inquiry. And in that process, I realized that I grew up in a family where my dad managed all the money, and I adopted, once I got married, I adopted the behavior that I saw. And so I started getting involved in self-development communities and my church. I'm still in the financial world, and what I saw was both groups of people were not having financial freedom. I'm in the self-development group where people don't have a lot of money. They're worried about money. They're stressed about money. And I'm in the money with people with a lot of money. They're worried about money. They're stressed about losing their money. And I was like, oh my gosh, no one is financially free. And so as I began to rebuild my life, I started to accumulate templates, strategies, all that kind of stuff to help others.
Right.
So that was where the first idea came in, was because I was in two groups of people where, and it's still happening. You know, it's still true to this day that people that have a lot of money stress out about it, and people that don't have a lot of money stress out about it. So, you know, what do we do about that? What do we do about moving people towards financial freedom and peace versus just information? I always say, and it's in my book, information without implementation is entertainment. So if, and here's the thing, Agnes, we are in a world where you can get AI to give you a budget. You can get AI to research and do everything for you, but people are still struggling. And why is that? It's the behavioral side of it. It is the mindset, behavior, and I have a bunch of frameworks and theories that I've developed why that happens.
Okay.
Because we learn as children from what we see, not from what we say. So that's one part of it. We adopt what we see in our society, our community, our family, and our own personal life, four levels of beliefs. And then we also don't teach people about money. So it's not something we'll teach about every subject, right? Except for things that matter. And as they're teaching financial literacy, because my son took financial literacy in high school, two classes, and I was like, they're teaching you what? They're teaching things that are not relevant to a 16-year-old, like FICA and taxes and when you get your apartment. And he's like, I want a game system. I'm not interested in getting an apartment, you know? So they're talking to them in ways that they don't really, they can't relate to, they can't implement. So it's just, once again, information.
Yeah, and for my
So
generation, money and sex, two taboo subjects.
don't talk about,
You
exactly.
never ask. I mean, if I had ever asked my dad how much something
Right.
had cost, he would probably put me into next week.
Exactly. And you never ask anybody how much they
No,
make
exactly.
and how much they paid for that and how much, you know, all of that. No. Now, times have changed about that. Everybody's got all that information everywhere. But in our generation, you didn't talk about that.
So one quick question, just to go back a bit, because you have
Yeah.
that background, and I hope this is not too personal of a question. If it is, say, go away, Agnes. You have a strong background in money management. When you realized and started to take back the reins for yourself, were you going, "Whew, okay, at least he handled it," or were you going like, "What the is this?"
Well, I knew what was going on, but you know,
Okay.
I didn't know everything because I didn't keep informed. So he had investments and stuff that I never got access to because I didn't know about it. So in the divorce, I probably could have gotten more. And this is something that happens to women all the time. I have a friend that's a forensic divorce financial person, and guys hide the money, everybody.
Well, you know what's interesting, and you know we're getting off track here a little bit, but I know a
That's
woman who
okay.
told me about her very close friend who, after 30, 40 years of marriage, her husband asked for a divorce, and then he proceeded to try and screw her out of every penny. And I went like, how do you go to your kids and say, guess what I did today, kids? I managed to royally screw your mother financially.
Exactly.
Like, I just, it blew me away.
Oh, they have it in their head just if they have multiple, well, I was the main breadwinner, you didn't contribute. I mean, they talk themselves into all kinds of things. And I have talked to my banker who said, I can't remember what the percentage was. It was over 50%. He said over 50 or 60% of his time was dealing with spouses that came in and wanted to either open up a separate bank account, open up a separate credit card, or hide something that was already in the bank accounts and open other accounts. He said, I have to deal with this all day long.
Okay. And I will put a quick rider in here for our listeners is yes, there are women who do the same thing to their husbands, and there are also
Absolutely.
husbands out there who are fabulous and capable and competent and would not
Exactly.
dream of
Oh, that's.
messing around. So yeah, let's
Yeah.
just get that out there. So we're not really down.
No, it's not gender
Yeah.
specific. No.
Okay, so you talk about emotions. We're going to talk about emotions. What are some of the emotional patterns that you see in women who've handed over financial control?
Well, some of it is that they're either, some of them are too busy. Like, I've got a job, I've got kids, I got, great, you just handle that. Some of them don't feel like they can. Like, I don't know enough. I'm not, it's too much to learn. A lot of it, though, is they just don't want to deal with
Well,
it.
I wondered as I was prepping my notes whether or not, and I don't know, a month or so ago, I had a woman on and we talked sex and money. We talked about money and sex, just how taboo it was. But it was almost like young women are led to believe that the guys know everything. They know what they're doing. They know how to, whatever. And I wonder if the same doesn't exist in terms of money. It's a guy's thing. So the guys know. And in both sex and money, guys have to learn it just like everybody else. And if they don't learn it, they're not very good at it.
Well,
So.
here's the thing, Agnes. In this country, women weren't allowed to have their
Oh, yeah.
own checking account in their own name until the 70s. We're not that far into our evolution.
Yeah. No, that was part of my life. I mean, I was in university in the 70s. Yeah.
We're 50 years into the evolution of being allowed to have our own money. So I just think it's built in the culture. It's built in, the four levels of belief for society, the society that you live in, whether it's the United States or a third world country. We have different societal beliefs. And one of those that is still carried over is, the guy manages the money. Or one person manages the money, whether it's a male or female. That is, and I work with couples. I have yet to find a couple where, and of course, they're coming to me when they have a
Yeah,
problem.
of
So
course, yeah.
maybe that's why. But it's very rare to find a couple where both of them are managing the money. It just usually one person takes it on. And it's just seems to be the pattern. Whether it's, and it's the same dynamic, whether it's a male or a female, it's the same dynamic. The person that manages the money feels resentful. They've got to carry the burden. They're stressed. And the other person that doesn't feels like they can't do what they want. They're being mothered and, and they feel like they can't spend. So it's a very similar dynamic no matter who's doing it.
Yeah.
So I just think we haven't evolved far enough. I do think that's changing. I think women are like, okay, I'm going to manage my own stuff. I do think that's changing, but you would be shocked how many women still have a joint checking account and nothing in their own name.
Oh,
It's
wow.
crazy. I run across them all the time. I'm like, get your own account. At least have your own debit, credit, bank account. Because if something happens, you will not have full access to that money. It's joint.
Okay, well, today's the day you and me are going to change the world.
Yes. And I'll tell you a quick story, Agnes. The reason why I'm so adamant about that is when I was in college, I dated someone. This was in the late 70s, early 80s, and his mother had gotten divorced and she had to use my credit cards. And I had to be, the JCPenney store account. She had to use mine because she couldn't get an account in her name because she'd never had one and she'd gone through a divorce. And it took her, I don't know if she ever got one. And I just never forgot that. And luckily, my dad taught me a lot about money, and he sort of set me up as I went to college into getting those accounts and getting things set up and getting my credit established, which I'm telling you is an issue and a problem today because the Dave Ramsey people say, don't get a credit card. I can't tell you how many young people I meet that say, I want to get a house, I want to get an apartment without my parents signing for it. And I can't because I don't have any credit because my parents told me don't do anything but a debit card. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, the other story that I heard, we're never going to get through on this on my list of things, but the other thing that I heard was this, I don't know if it was a couple or a fellow that he decided we're not going to use the credit card anymore because we've got to save, save, save so that we can have a down payment and then we can get a house. So that's what they did. They're not using the credit card. If we can't pay cash, we're not buying it. They did that for several years. They saved up their nest egg. They went in to check for mortgage, and their credit rating was basically zero because they hadn't been using the credit card. So it really came back to bite them, you know? And it's just like it's so frustrating. And once again, there's so many facets of the financial world, money, all that stuff that, oh my God, keeping track of it all is such a chore and next to impossible.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that, I think.
Okay, good. Okay,
And
correct me.
I make it simple for people and customize. The problem that happens is that people follow other people's systems that have nothing to do with how they think or behave. So, yeah, so it needs to be personalized and customized because everyone has different skills, experience, learning styles. I have auditory people. I can't give them a spreadsheet. They're not visual. You know, it's it, you, so I tailor it. We tailor all of the whatever needs to happen, whether it's a spending plan or a savings plan or what or a credit plan. It's got to be tailored to the person because the key is you need to be able to do it and be consistent. That's the two things. That's it. Do what it takes. The steps are not that hard and be consistent. But what happens is people take on the 10 steps or the 5 steps or the whatever steps somebody else did that worked for them. And then they're like, I can't do it. And then they give up. Well, it just wasn't the right, format for you. I have people use sticky notes for spending plans, or I don't say budget because I feel like budgets are like diets. I say spending plans. They use sticky notes, they use calendars, they use posters on the wall. Whatever you're going to use is going to work. But that's, most people are looking at what somebody else did or what's out there on the internet or whatever, and then it's too much. So it can be simple.
Okay, so we have women
Absolutely.
listening who are thinking, this is me, and I'm really
Hey.
embarrassed to admit it. That's what she's saying, not what I'm saying. I admit anything.
Right.
But what would you say to them right now? Like, what's the first thing?
You are not alone. You are not unique. Welcome to, 60% of the population. Because people think it's just them. That's why they feel bad. That's why they feel guilt and shame, because they don't think anybody else is messed up, not done things, handed over their power, all of that. It happens all every day, all day long. It's not, it's and it's not your fault.
Right. Okay. Thank you. What are
Yeah.
the most common blind spots that women over 50, over 60, whatever, well, what do you see are the blind spots? Because obviously, if they're blind spots, those women don't see them.
Well, one of the first one, I don't know if it's a blind spot, but it's a belief that it's too late. Like, it's too late for me to save and invest. It's never too
No,
late.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they think it's too late. I can't now. I can't do anything. It's too far gone. And that's one of the biggest ones. It's not true. And the other thing, Agnes, is that we're all living longer. The question I ask people are, if you knew you're going to live 20 or 25 years, is it too late? No. But people think, because I've lived so long and I feel so bad that I didn't get myself in a good position, then I just give up. Instead of, what do you have looking forward? Let's think about what's possible instead of what's wrong. That's the other thing, is that people dwell on what they've done wrong and they can't get past it, and they've got to be able to forgive themselves and to see that there is possibility.
I know I have people in my own life from years ago who, I'll never be able to afford whatever, a condo or something. And I remember looking at them and going like, well, why would you say that? Oh, I just know. I just know that. Excuse me, would you do me a favor and just go talk to a professional and ask them whether you can do this? And in like two situations I can think of right off the top of my head, both situations, they ended up with a lovely home, mortgage, like,
Right? I think that's another big point that happens with women and really all people is that they don't want to take a look. I can't tell you how many people avoid the numbers because they're afraid of what it's going to say. And what I've found every time is that they feel relief because it's never as bad as they think it is.
Hopefully.
They always think it's just,
Yeah.
it's hopeless, but the numbers really give you decision-making power. It gives you so much power. The power is in the numbers. Once you face it, then you can do something about it. If you don't face it, you can't do anything. And then you're living in the fears, the guilt, the shame, the I can't do it, I won't do it, I can't do math, like, all of that. I'll never make it is a big, there'll never be enough. I'll never be enough. I'll never make it. I'll never have what I want. All of those. And those are all beliefs.
Well, and I think too, push comes to shove, it's only information. So even if it's
Right.
awful news, it's like, okay, now I know. And then you find the
Exactly.
professional who can help you move forward to a more positive place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's the not knowing that creates all
Yeah. Well, it's like a
the
diagnosis,
angst
isn't it?
and the chaos.
Once you get the diagnosis, you can do
Yeah.
something about it.
I liken it to weight loss. People will not get on the scale. Once you got to get on the scale and then you can like do something about it. If you don't get on the scale, you don't even know what you're dealing with.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay, so if someone has stepped out of the financial decision-making loop for several for a number of years, and as I say, with us, it could be 10, 20, 30, even 40 years. What's the first step to take to get back into finding out what's going on?
And you mean in a couple or just for themselves
Well,
individually
I
or?
think probably let's start with a couple because
Okay.
usually that's why they have stepped away, because he can handle it.
Right. The first thing I recommend for couples, well, the first thing I do is I make them do an assessment separately, and then we talk about it, and it has things alike. Do you have an insurance policy? Do you have bank accounts? How many bank accounts do you have? How much money do you have in the bank? Do you file your taxes? Do you have a mortgage? It's simple things. And it's so funny. Usually the person that manages the money is like, yeah. And the person is like, one of the questions is yes, no. It's a lot of yes, no, or I don't know is a big one. There's so much I don't knowing going on that it's a really good thing for them to look at because here is a list of all the things that you might want to be taken care of. And then they realize, I don't know any of this stuff. So that's the first thing is awareness. And so they both do it separately and then we talk about it. And then that can be the beginning of, okay, what do we want? What do we really want to accomplish? Do we want to have shared information? Do we want you to still to keep track of it? But now I have to have a high level review of this every so often. So I call that a money date. So I send my couples on money dates where it is structured so that they have a space to talk about money. They have a framework. And a lot of times we work it out. They come up with whatever the framework is going to be, whether it's we're meeting for coffee, we're meeting for wine, we're meeting, the rule is you can't meet in a place you've discussed or argued about money. It's got to be in a neutral space. You've got to do it at a time when you're not having a fight or you're too tired or sick or anything like that. But we come up with a plan and an agenda for them so that they can have a regular meeting and they get to decide what they're going to do and if they're going to change some roles. And sometimes that happens. They can change roles or not change roles or we come up with a framework for that, and then we come up with some of the goals that they want to achieve in distributing and communicating about money. So the first piece is an assessment for sure. Like, what do I not know? Like, what do I have in place, and what don't I have in place, and what do I not do? And that really relates to individuals also, is to take an inventory of what should I be doing and what am I not doing.
Once again, with your experience, because I don't want to just put it on the back of a woman who's listening, is after a 30-year marriage, perhaps the managing spouse might get their back up and say, "Are you suddenly not trusting me?"
That does happen. I mean, th that sort of does happen. The bigger piece of information is, if something happens to you, what is going to happen to me? This is not about I don't trust you. This is about I need to understand if I have to take over, because that happens every day, all day long. I talk to women that a husband has died and they are lost, overwhelmed, don't know what to do. And in this day and age, Agnes, you've got to have information. It's not the era where you can go to the insurance company and talk to the guy, and you can go to the bank and talk to the lady. You got to have passwords. You've got to have identification information. You've got to have two-factor what? I mean, you got to know what's going on, or you have no access. And that can be a huge problem.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Especially if somebody passes, unfortunately passes away. You know, one of the things, are you set up as a beneficiary? Are you going to have to go through probate? Are you going to have access to any money? You know, what's going to happen? So, you know, if a person is in a relationship for 30 years and their spouse cares about them, the conversation is about, you know, do you want to make sure I'm going to be okay? We've got to make sure I know so that I can be okay.
Yeah, I have an elder in my life currently who is exactly in that boat. Her husband has passed, and she's frail and elderly, and so now, her granddaughter is trying desperately to figure it all out and organize stuff, and and the frail elderly woman is just frail enough that it is too much for her. And so I just go like, okay, if it's not for the spouse, think about who's going to come along and try to pull all this together in the midst of everything that's happening in their own life. So
Exactly. And that's a, you know, that's a conversation to be had. And with an expanded version of financial dependency, there are a lot of elderly people that are dependent on others that are taking advantage
oh
of them.
yeah
Good luck if you got a granddaughter that's honest,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it could be that you have a family member, and I've seen it, I've heard it, people have told me, you know, people pass away and family members are at odds and fighting, and you know, so because somebody didn't put in place the instructions, the paperwork, so that doesn't happen, and then people get taken advantage of.
Well, and just for listeners, you are not allowed to do this right at the moment. You will listen to the rest of this conversation and then go listen to the gentleman that I interviewed last week, because he was an estate planner and he gave tangible, he had tangible stories, people and incidents that he knew. And I'm going like, oh my God, I can't imagine
Yeah,
my child or my
exactly.
grandson would do that to me. Well, neither did those people, so. Yeah,
Right.
yeah,
And you don't
yeah.
know if it's another, you know, this happens a lot, Agnes, for women over 50, over 60, they find especially if they've been widowed or had a partner pass away, they get in a new relationship, older in life, they get in with somebody that has children that aren't theirs. I've seen this happen two or three times with friends. And then the spouse dies, and the children, like, you're on the outs, because I've seen women lose their homes over this, because they've either sold their home to move in with somebody that they've fallen in love with at 65 or 70 years old. They give up their home. They're now in that, and then that home goes to the children, and they are homeless. So, yeah.
Now that we're totally depressing the audience.
It's just something to be aware
No,
of.
I yeah, no, I'm all yeah.
And to, because you just don't know. And you don't know when someone's going to have dementia or someone's going to be taken over by their children, and it affects you. So it's just, you just got to make sure that you, I always say, I don't care if it's a business, I don't care if it's a relationship. You cannot hand over the power. You still have to stay in. You don't have to be an expert, but you need to stay involved to the extent that you know what's going on.
There we go. I feel the need to keep on leaving these pregnant pauses after you make those statements. Okay, what are two or three key things that every woman should know about her finances, no matter what the age or the situation?
Wow. Okay, so, I call it money in and money out. So you need to know how much is coming in and how much is going out and how much you have. So what's in the basic kind of four? What am I bringing in? What am I spending? What is the bank? What's in the bank and what do I owe? So what is the credit liability side, mortgage, whatever that is, and what is the asset side? What do I have? I mean, that's just the basics, the minimum that you should understand.
Okay, so we've been talking about those transitions, whether it's divorce or widowhood, whatever. How can a woman start preparing? Is that similar to what we talked about? Like just get in there and find out what's going on, have those money dates, put a little bit of
Yeah, it
emotional.
starts with a conversation. It's got to start with a conversation because if you do it and you're like rummaging for information, they're going to go like, "What's going on?" Why? And then that's the "I don't trust you," whatever. I do think it. I was listening to this podcast and I'm thinking about this and I'm worried about what. Just start with a conversation that made me think about this. If something happened to you, I would not know where to start or what to do. It could be as simple. Agnes is having a folder with one sheet of paper that says, here's all the accounts, passwords, whatever. This is where everything is. This is where the paperwork is. If I have a life insurance policy, it's in the, drawer in the folder or the safety deposit, wherever. So you need to know what it is and the details about it, accounts and so forth, and where it is, because insurance policies, you got to have the policy. Mortgages and those that you've got it, there's certain paperwork that you need to have the documents. So where are the documents? Where are they and what are they?
And as
That's
you
very key.
say, that whole password thing now is
Yeah, that's
like
a big deal.
get a password manager because that slip of
Yep.
paper can slip behind a desk or it can get burn up in a
Absolutely.
fire or something.
Have a password manager, have everybody understand how that works. Where those are set up and things like if they have retirement funds and pensions and those kinds of things, that information needs to be somewhere or with someone. Even if, and if it's not, if you don't have it, then here's the financial person. This is who you need to call. This is the financial planner or the company or the Charles Schwab account or whatever it is. This is the contact for the lawyer, the financial planner, the tax person, whatever. Yeah. And also for home things too, like this is who I call if we need gutters cleaned. And this is who we call if we need the, the HVAC guy comes out once a year. This is just, those kinds of things are important too. Like, how do we maintain things?
Oh dear, it's okay, dear. I'll handle it. No, okay.
Right.
Look, talk to us about confidence because if once again, if a woman is coming out of a 40-year marriage that her spouse has been taking care of everything, she might just sort of think, and whether it's divorce or widowhood, whatever, there's going to be a lot of emotion. So to then face like trying to find the confidence to say, I can do this. Can you talk to seeing as how you deal with the
Yeah.
emotional side of it?
It is hard, and that is the key, that you're doing something that takes your logical front of your brain and you are in the back of the brain because you're now in the emotional side of it. So the first thing I would say is just don't make any rash decisions because you're probably, if you are emotional about it, that's not a good time to do that. So to be able to get yourself in a place where you feel that the emotions, whether it's taking a walk, breathing, whatever works for the person, talking to somebody, getting in a group of other women that are going through the same thing, whether it's a meetup group, a church group, a
You'll
there's
find them, yeah.
tons of things like that. Yeah. And begin to, I find that action sometimes builds confidence. Small, it can be very small actions, but people need support. And I have three pillars: awareness, information, and support. And you can't do it alone. You just can't. Because if you could, you wouldn't worry. But that's not what happens. Things shift, things change, things fall apart, and then you don't know how to handle it. So you need support, the right kind of support, whether, like I said, it's a friend, family. And you got to look at, and I have that in my book, what is the support that I need? Is it professional? Is it just friends? Is it emotional support? Do I need a therapist? Do I need a lawyer? You know, what is the support I need? And then beginning to take steps to get that. But that also comes from just, you know, talking with others, being in groups. Yeah, it just, if you're staying in your own head but you have to be careful. And I write that in my book also. You got to be careful who you're talking to too, because social media and friends or whatever, that, I mean, they can be a certain kind of support, but that they're not always the right support that you need in the moment.
Yeah, because I was
Yeah.
going to add that, my podcast is for boomer women. I tell you, there are so many subjects in my 7 years of history, well, 6 years of history.
Yes.
And it m amazes me, A, how many podcasts are out there for any subject in the world, and
Right.
B, how many Facebook groups there are.
Facebook groups,
Now, as
absolutely.
you just said, you can't always be just dumping your personal stuff into a Facebook
Nope.
group, but maybe you can get some information. Maybe you can learn how somebody else is
Absolutely.
handling it, that sort of thing. And even as you just said, to know there's other people out there that are going through the same thing, sometimes that's reassuring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's organizations too, Agnes, that, you know, help people. Financial abuse, financial dependency. There are some organizations, and they have free legal advice that, and you can find that on my website. There's some resources on my website too that lead people in different places that you can go for, you know, professional help that's not expensive. A lot of times, YWCA and just different groups, and a lot of financial institutions, your bank, your credit union, they're starting to have educational. If you belong there, if you're a member or a customer, you can take classes, workshops. There really are quite a lot of things available now.
Yeah, it's so good that so, well, double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, there's so many scams and everything else out there right now
Oh, yeah.
that all the major institutions are getting on board and saying, okay, let's make sure everybody's educated. We don't want people losing their lives, blah, 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 blah,
Exactly.
blah. So it's unfortunate that it's the reason is there, but the fact that
Right.
they're taking responsibility and saying, let's get our people supported, educated, whatever it takes. That's good. Yeah,
Absolutely.
yeah. Okay, let's go to mindset. Is
Yes.
there a single mindset shift, or is it a process that changes?
It's definitely a process, because mindset is, first of all, it's not a one-time thing, and mindset is different for everyone. So what would be a first thing to do is to you okay, so become aware. You know that you've got to do things differently. And becoming aware of that, one of the first things I have people look at is that four levels of belief. You know, what is the belief from the society I live in? What about the communities I grew up in? Whether they were a church community or a local community or a generation, you know, what are the beliefs that people believe it that, you know, think through? Or have my family. What was the family motto that one person manages the money, or you have to work hard, or whatever that is? There's, you know, certain things that you learn in your family, and then your personal, whether you've been bankrupt or divorced or whatever, you have a level of personal beliefs. And it could be just as simple as answering a few questions. I mean, I have a whole, my Rewrite Your Money Story Journal is a guided journal to walk people through specific questions so that they can become aware of their belief system. But it can be just as simple as, what do I think about people with a lot of money? That's bad. People with money are evil. You know, there's just certain questions that you can ask. What did I learn growing up about money? What was the conversation that people had about money in my house? So just some simple questions that begin to reveal what the belief is underneath. Because it's not just out here in the world looking at you, or you'd know it. It's usually something, and they all usually start when you were a child. There's core beliefs that happen at certain ages that, when you're a child, when you're, what was my first experience with money? What was my first experience with receiving gifts? What, all of those questions build the storyline that you have about money.
And I'll go back to what you said near the beginning is it's not your fault. So all you can say is, okay, this
No.
is the situation, not pretty. It's not my fault. So what,
Right.
where is my next step? How am I going to, because if you don't do anything about it, that is your fault. But if you then try to
Exactly.
find steps, baby steps, to find out,
Yes.
get educated, understand what's going on, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And I've my four levels of belief, it's actually on my website as a free resource.
Okay.
So people can go in and check that out because that is a really great place to start because it starts to build the belief, show you the belief system that you have. And it's obvious because it's running your life now. You just don't know it.
Yeah, right.
So it's powerful when you begin to uncover it. And I like to work with core beliefs because there are many, but we have many, many beliefs, but the core beliefs are the main ones that bleed through every area of your life, like not enough. There's not enough money, time, love, energy. So we get down to the core beliefs, and then you can really make progress in your life.
Okay, so you've been working with people over time, or you work with your clients over time. How does taking back financial control change other parts of a person's life? I want to get into the positives
Oh,
now.
wow. Yeah. So it change oh my gosh, my couples, it changes their relationship 100%.
Okay.
I love the couples because you just see the love that shows back up. So, and I work with people on discovering their dreams because people want money, Agnes, for something else. So they want more money so that they can do whatever it is. And most of the time people aren't focused on that. So we build in what is the big dream that you've always had in your life? What is the interim dream? Whatever. So people start achieving their dreams. They write books, take more vacations, buy dream homes, pay off lots of debt, build relationships, rebuild relationships, have children. That just so many things that are blocking them that they're stuck in that it just opens up a whole world of possibilities for them.
Okay, so of all those people and
Build
couples,
businesses,
have you ever seen a woman claim her financial power and then make a totally unexpected life decision? It's like, whoa, didn't see that coming. I love those stories.
Oh, I know. Let me think about that. Have I had any of those? I don't think so because I do the vision dream piece at the beginning of our work together. So I'm not surprised. I don't think I've had anybody that
So you just didn't
totally
get an
did
email
that.
saying, "Loving my life in Bali. Thanks for all that help last year." And you're going, "What? You used to live in."
No.
Okay.
Not that I would be surprised about,
Okay.
probably not, because
You'd just be jealous.
we try new. Yeah, I haven't experienced that, but like I say, I work with people to go like, what is the wildest dream you've ever had? So we're working on that actively
There you go.
and trying to uncover and actively trying to uncover that so they can go for it.
Okay. And I hope our listeners are going, oh my God, if I had carte blanche, what's the craziest, wildest thing I would do?
Yeah, if you had all the, if you had,
Money was
if
not an
money
op.
was not
Yeah.
an object, what would you want to do with your life?
It's always interesting. And the people that I know never answer that immediately. It's just like, wow, like to be able to just open up the roof sort of thing and go like, it's all just there. So
That's a first step when you work with me. We're going there immediately after the assessment. We are going there. And the reason we go there is because when things get tough and they have to make a decision, we're focusing on that
there you go.
and not the hard decision in the moment. If this is where you're headed,
So does it feed that dream or that goal?
yeah. And then, and in coaching, there's a transition going on right now in coaching. And I don't know if you've heard of this, but with the advent of AI and technology, we're no longer doing, especially for women, and I've been transformation coaching for a while, but we're no longer doing this la the ladder. The goal's at the top, and we're just going to do action plans and, blah, 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 get there. We're talking about transformational coaching. And in order for you to have the dream, you have to become something that you're not right now. So what we as coaches are starting to do is to hold the space for the becoming, who you were become to have the dream, so that we move, and it's basically a caterpillar to, from the ladder to the caterpillar to the butterfly. So we're no longer focusing on caterpillar problems because we want to be a butterfly. So we will deal with the caterpillar problems, but I have to hold a space for my clients to become something else. Because you usually have to become something else to step into a dream.
Do you very often have to say, well, back onto the butterfly path because you're wandering off into mothland?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's we activate that at every session in my work. We activate in the dream. We do a 30-second, visualization at the beginning of every session of we're going to visualize something you're doing towards your dream so that they remember it, because dreams are not, they're not like task lists. You forget. Life happens and you're back to, the caterpillar munching around so you can fill yourself up so you can get in the cocoon, so it's like caterpillar problems. So, and that's where the coach can hold the space for the becoming and the space for the dream and be a reminder for that. Because if not, you're not going to remember it. But I do what's called environmental design coaching. I have them put things up to, put something in your space that represents the dream. Because right now your environment represents the problems you've got in your life. So we've got to change the environment, whether it's a sign or a candle or whatever. We've got to presence the dream all the time, or you're not going to remember it. You're just not. Because it's not, you've built an experience over here of so much of the life that you have. This is so new. It's like being in the cocoon, to get to the caterpillar, you've got to, it's not the lived experience. So we've got to create it and continue creating it, or it will die. Yeah.
And I need to apologize to all the moths out there. There's some beautiful moths, so I take back my
Oh,
disparaging
do
suggestion.
moths have the same pattern?
Yeah,
Do they do the
I
same
think they
thing?
do. I don't know.
Oh, yay, then moths have,
And they're so
they
beautiful and
probably have,
furry.
they probably have a category of insect that encompasses all of them that we probably need to be talking about
There we
instead
go.
of butterflies.
Okay. We were going so. Do you have, and I realize that confidentiality and all that, but can you describe like someone who comes to mind, or can you put a couple of people together into one story that, they've walked in, they're going like, deer in the headlights, and they're now living that life.
Wow, who do I pick from?
Oh, okay, yay.
With being confidential. So they come in and, well, let's do couples. They come in and they're like, this is it, or we're getting divorced. Like, if we don't get this solved, and it's fighting, it's like, no, I didn't spend that money. Yes, I did spend that money. You're keeping that from me. We don't have any money to do this. Well, how do I know that block? I mean, it's a hot mess. And they walk out and they have, like, they fall back in love. They're focused on vacationing and redoing the honeymoon location from 20 years ago and reassessing their life and restructuring their life now around them instead of all the distracting things that were in their life. And yeah, they're happy and they're, oh my gosh. And one couple, had a whole dream, and we have to meet again, because I'm like, you met the 5-year dream, you've already got it. Now we got to go to the next, now we got to the next dream, because they've achieved everything that was, on that dream list, the vacation home, the different trips, the money in place, everything working well. Yeah.
So it sounds like in some ways you're like the physiotherapist, where people will stick with you for a lifetime, but they only come back and see you, you know, when they need a tweak or a top up or a something. So it's not like they're in to see you every month or whatever, but they'll reach those goals or they'll get to the place where they can live those goals. And then it's like, okay, we did that. Let's go back and see Estelle and figure out what we're going to, you know, dream of next.
Do next.
Okay.
Some people, yeah, because especially on the money side, once we get things in place, whether it's a debt pay down or savings or buying the home or whatever it is, they're on track for that. But usually what happens is life changes. I have a model that I use for, it's called the money life cycle. And so people move. I have people that are moving now into what's called the legacy cycle. So the kids are now grown and that they got to get rid of the big house and they have to, I've just looking at, I'm going to retire in 10 years now. So I'm focused, and before it was, I'm focusing on saving for college and paying off debt. And so people go through these different life cycles, or something happens, somebody passes away or whatever, and then they come back to reassess and create the next dream.
And I can think of nothing more, and I don't know what the word is, but of a relief than to have come in with a spouse to see you, get things organized and, you know, whatever. Have the spouse die and come back to you and say, oh, thank God, I understand what's going on. I just need some help figuring out the next
Getting
steps.
things
Yeah, as a single
exactly.
person. Yeah, wow.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of it's emotional.
No, I bet.
It's the and the trans, you know, I'm you, mostly working with people that are in some kind of transition, and that is a thing of itself. Just making, you know, they're usually making some kind of identity shift from I'm a married person to I'm a single person, or I'm a mom and now I'm an empty nester, or I am a per corporate whatever employee and now I'm retired. Now what am I doing? You know? So it's all identity type shifts that happen to
Whew, I
people
can only
when they're working
imagine
with
how many
someone.
hats you have in the closet. Which hat am I wearing today? Okay, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women to think about?
Just to not to be selfish, but to be selfful and to really put themselves first, because that's the best thing they can do for their family and their loved ones. I know we always will try and give ourselves away, but you got to take care of yourself. You know, be self full, self care, and money wise too. That's the best thing you could do for your loved ones is to understand what's going on with your money and to be looking at your beliefs and what you think about it, because that gives you strength that will then just transfer to your family and your loved ones.
And I guess as we started, you are modeling for your children and grandchildren the fact that you
Absolutely.
may have reached a point where it's like, I have no idea what's going on, but you figured it out. You are moving forward on a positive path. You've got control now, you know, so for your children to look at you and go like, whoa, look what mom did, or holy crikey, you know, grandma really pulled herself together after, you know, grandpa passed, or whatever it is, we are modeling now
Exactly.
for our following generations.
Absolutely. And that's just that can make generational change.
There we go.
Because people, somebody's watching.
About everything.
Yeah.
Trust me. Okay.
Somebody's watching and learning and observing. So.
Okay, so you've mentioned your coaching. Talk to us about your coaching.
So I am what I call a holistic financial coach, because when we deal with our money, can you think of an area of your life that money doesn't affect? Not many. So we have to
I
look
was
at
thinking.
not only, yeah, your money and your mindset, you know, as a whole person, but also your life, and looking at every area of your life and how money affects your life. So I am a life coach, in addition to being a financial, you know, person too. So we look at the whole thing. So
Okay.
yeah.
Now, sorry, did you say you were in Iowa?
I'm in Ohio.
Ohio, sorry. Did you say you were in Ohio?
Yes.
I'll delete that last bit of. What t talk to me just for a second about licensing. Can you work with anybody anywhere or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And I mostly work with people I don't work in person. I mostly work remote only because if we're working with some financial information, it's better if the person's in their home so that they can, go look at something or gather their information. They don't have to bring, I'm not limited to my locality and people don't have to bring paperwork
Oh,
in.
good.
So a lot of financial coaches work remotely for that very reason.
Okay, I just know that sometimes when you've got a registration or a designation, you can work
Oh,
within your
okay.
state or, your country or something.
No,
So,
I'm a member of the International Coach Federation. I'm credentialed with the
perfect.
ICF, and so it's international.
Okay, good. Whoa, that's great. You have so many resources on your website. Tell us where we can tell our listeners where we can find you on the World Wide Web.
Perfect. You can go to estellegibson.com and there is a tab at the top that says podcast. And if you go there's a list of things, free resources, ways you can contact me. You can get on my list, one page, everything's listed.
Now, I thought I saw something about a book, but I am seeing books plural on this page.
Yes.
So Poor by Choice. Come on, sell them, sell
Okay, so Poor by
them.
Choice is a continuation of. I did a TED Talk in 2019 on financial dependency, and it's a continuation and it's a combination of my story from the time I was 8 years old. And it's also my 5-step method. There's three parts. So the second part is my 5-step method that I take my clients through. And the last part is my take on 6 to 7 main money topics: spending plans and budgets, saving and investing, credit and debt. Finding your financial team so you can learn the basic information about those topics. And then Rewrite Your Money Story is a guided journal taking you through a 3-step process to understand the beliefs that you have about money and begin to rewrite them. And I have a third book I'm working on now. It's a children's book. I'm doing a children's
Oh, wow.
series called Stella Learns. The first book is called Stella Learns to Save so that children can begin. It's an illustrated book. So that children can begin to learn about money.
What age group is that aimed at?
It's from 8 to 12.
Oh, perfect. Sorry, I got grandchildren.
Maybe 5 to 12, but yeah, it's there's a thing on my website. If you click on author, there's a drop down that tells you a little bit about the book. It should be coming out in the next couple months, but that's my next.
A really quick story here is I have this little gig that I do that just pays me some cash every week. And yes, Canada Revenue, I declare it. But because it was just a small amount each week, I have 5 grandchildren. So I bought 5 ornate canning jars, and each week I would just whatever I had, I would drop one of each
I
in the bin.
love it.
And I gave them that for Christmas. And I have 2 little grandchildren who were so excited because you can imagine it was $200. They could
Right.
now, but it looked like so much, they could now buy their own house.
Oh my God. Actually, that's part of the book. Stella says, I can buy anything I want. And then she has a magical butterfly. So the storyline is she's got this magical butterfly that is her sort of money fairy that teaches her along the way. But there is a money jar in there. So
Oh,
that's so
isn't that
fun.
funny? Well, and kids
And I'm going to be
nowadays never
putting.
see cash.
Well, that is going to be one of the next, because I'm doing a series. So the next one is Stella learns about digital dollars because they don't see cash.
Well, and even my
So
own
I am going to
kids,
do.
if they wanted something and I'd say, no, not in the budget, I don't have any money, they go, Mom, just go to the machine and get money out. It's like, okay, well, how do you think the money got in to come out?
Exactly. So I'm going to be doing one of the books will be Stella Learns About Digital Dollars because kids get gift cards. They don't get money anymore.
I won't complain about gift cards because I did make a major move in 2007 after my children were gone, flown the nest, and I found so many gift cards lying around. I had new shoes, I had new music, I
That's
had,
so
yeah,
good.
I was like, keep on giving my kids gift cards.
Right.
It was great. Okay.
But the kids in school still do learn about dollars. So I do think it's relevant to a
Oh,
certain
no.
extent. Well, no, I don't know. Dollars may be going away. I don't know how, with the world the way it is, we might be going 100% digital, which will
Well,
be
you're
very
finally getting
scary.
rid of your penny by this, from what I've heard, where we got rid of it so
I
many
hear
years
that.
ago.
Did
Oh,
you? Okay. Yeah, we are.
Talk to me about TEDx before we close.
Okay. What do you want to
Well,
know?
just that's really exciting. Like, how did you get the gig? What did you talk?
Oh, okay. So, you have to apply. I had to apply and audition.
Okay.
So, oh yeah. So TED, the TED organization, license people to do the TEDx.
Thanks.
So
Yeah.
TED.com is one thing, and then TEDx. So I did a, and I used to go to TEDx because I was in Toastmasters, and I'm a speaker. I'm a speaker that writes. And so I had been going, and I was like, I might want to do this. So I applied, and I didn't get in the first year, but I applied again, and I got in the second year. And I think 250 people applied in our region, and 50 people auditioned, and 10 people were selected. So it is not an easy process. And then it's a 4-month process of, it's a very, very specific type of speech.
Okay.
And TED is very particular about how they do their speeches because they want to, if you notice, they're all, they've got a look and a feel to them because they give the location a license for a year and then they have to send every video, everything's got to go to the TED organization and they only give you your license the next year if everything has been followed. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, the good news for me is that when they do that, if they see a talk that they like, they bump it up to Big TED. We call it Big TED. So I'm actually a TED.com speaker because when they saw my video, they liked it. So they moved it up to TED, and I have over 2.5 million
Well,
views
I've
at this
seen
point
several
in time.
places, like just tracking you down on the internet about like,
Yeah.
this amazing how many people have watched your TED talk and stuff like that. So,
Yeah. And that's because TED elevated it to the TED.com.
wow. Well,
So I'm listed as
congratulations.
a, yeah. Depends on the topic and the speech. They look at everything, but yeah. And anybody can apply. I mean, they're all over the world. So, but you've got to usually apply and audition.
Very cool. Okay, there's something else to put on the wish list. Now,
Yeah,
okay, so
definitely.
oh, what did I just do? Because you said EstelleGibson.com. Why did I suddenly end up on journeytofreedom.com?
Oh, it forwards to that.
Oh, okay.
That's my website. Yeah.
Okay. Phew, had me worried there. And are you on social?
Definitely. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube.
Okay. Great. Okay. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Yes.
We've been talking this and money, and it's just you asked me that question, is there anything that money doesn't affect in my life? And I thought about sleeping, and then I thought, no, thank God for my nice bed. But when you're not working, when you're just being Estelle, what brings you the most joy or peace or whatever these days? I saw spring flowers on one of your sites. I saw a nice bowl of chili or something on one of your sites.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, music,
Oh,
dancing, cooking.
okay, all the
yeah,
creature
music
comforts.
is yeah, and I used to do community theater, so I want to get back into
Oh.
so I'm looking for a choir and possibly getting back into community theater and I'm a hobby person, so I used to I've got so many like I'm a crafter and I used to make furniture and make clothes and
Goodness.
so I'm going to be getting some of my hobbies back going and yeah.
Oh, that's great. What kind of music?
I don't know, it's eclectic.
Okay.
I like all kinds of music. Nothing, I'm from the 60s, so I mean I love Earth, Wind and Fire. That's one of my favorite. So, I like pop, I like classical, I love Broadway type music. I love new age type of just
Yeah, like,
what do you call it? Instrumental type music. I like all kind of music.
oh, that's great. I'm sitting here like a bobblehead. Okay. Your website link is in the show notes. All of the links are on your page at our website. Listeners, if this conversation brought something up for you or maybe made you think I really should be paying more attention to this, I'd love to hear from you. What's one step you feel ready to take when it comes to your financial life? If you're thinking about a friend, a sister, or maybe even a daughter who could benefit from hearing this conversation, please share it with her. These are the conversations that can quietly change someone's future. If you're enjoying these conversations, click follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss what's coming next. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. And if you haven't dropped by boomwithabang.com yet, it's really shaping up. So drop over and check it out. Estelle Gibson, thank you for being my guest today and sharing both your expertise and your honesty about this, or with this conversation. Really appreciate you just making our listeners just feel comfortable about claiming what they don't know and then moving forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great rest of week.
Okay.
I've never had anybody say okay before. Thank you for that.
Just say nothing, they go.
No, they simply said, oh, yeah, you too, or whatever, but you just said thank you, and that was lovely. Okay, now I'm going to click stop recording.